Hi, welcome to The Heart of It. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Hart. On my show, you'll hear interviews with experts in the fields of nutrition, alternative methods of healing, and relationships. Today's show is about how to reduce stress during the holiday season. Holidays are supposed to mean time off from regular activities so we can share good food and create warm, happy memories with family and friends. But the reality is often different. There's often a lot of frustration, tension, and stress that grow at this time of the year as our lives become filled with busy schedules, parties, shopping, house guests, and having to spend time with some family members with whom our relationships are far from ideal. Because the holiday season comes at the end of one year and the beginning of another, this time may even bring forth a time of self-evaluation, loneliness, reflections on past failures, or anxiety about an uncertain future. The expert I've invited to talk with me today about how to reduce holiday stress is Dr. Neil Ribner. Dr. Ribner is truly an expert in this area. He is a clinical psychologist and director of the doctoral program in clinical psychology at my alma mater, the California School of Professional Psychology at Alliant International University in San Diego. He is the director of the Family and Child Track and director of the Family Center, an outpatient agency providing counseling to children and families and custody evaluations to the family court. Dr. Ribner also has a private practice in San Diego, specializing in work with teenagers and families, and he does custody evaluations for the court. He is also the author of many articles and has written two books, First Sessions with Teenagers and The Handbook of Juvenile Forensic Psychology. And if that wasn't enough, he also has firsthand knowledge about families because he has three children of his own, Matt, Lauren, and Jason. Dr. Ribner, welcome to The Heart of It.
Thank you, Linda. And I'm still married to the same wife for 36 years.
Yes, Linda. So hello, Linda, if you're listening. Dr. Ribner, holidays are supposed to be happy times, aren't they, for families? And yet, people often feel more depressed at this time of the year, and I've read that there's even a rise in suicide rates. I'm hoping you can help us understand what's going on here.
I hope so, too. I think you're absolutely right. Maybe the key words in your sentence are supposed to be happy. And I think for many families, maybe even for most families, it is true that the holidays are a happy time. They bring back childhood memories. They allow people to be with their children or extended family and share happy times, share good food. So I think for most families, it is true. But it also is true that for some families, for some individuals, this may be the worst time of the year. And it also is true that depression and suicide rates do go up around this time as well.
That's so sad to think of this as being a really the worst time of the year for some people.
Yeah. Well, I think what we see sometimes is that people don't have what they see portrayed either in the media or what they see portrayed in other families with whom they interact, maybe at work or in their neighborhood. People are oftentimes alone. I think you mentioned that this is a changed world, that families don't live. When I grew up, my whole family and extended family lived probably within 10 miles of each other. And, of course, I grew up in New York City, so you could reach each other even by subway. But now families are very spread out, and so the likely people are more alone over the holidays is greater than it was years ago. Families just don't may not be able to get together as consistently as they did before, or sometimes parts of families get together and the other parts feel left out. So the world has changed.
It has. And, you know, as we talk about depression and the holidays, I'm wondering if we have to also include some of the factors that don't even have anything to do with the holidays. It was occurring to me that we both live in Southern California, and I'm a real sunshine girl. And last year we had a particularly wet winter. I don't remember having that much rain. And I found it really difficult, and it makes me think that since the holidays do occur in the winter time, and you hear about seasonal affective disorder, I was wondering, so just the mere fact that the holidays occur during the cold weather season, if that would also be a contributor to the depression that can occur at this time.
It really can, I think, especially if you're used to the sunshine. The seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, interestingly called SAD, is a phenomenon that we do see in the medical literature, in the psychiatric literature, that people who, especially if they're used to sunshine, when they're in bleak kind of weather, their moods go down. And whether it's physiological or psychological or a combination, I would tend to think it's a combination. But I know even my wife, when she gets up, and this is in San Diego, and it's a rainy day, feels sort of blue and, gee, I wish I didn't have to go out today. So you can imagine people who are exposed to these sort of cold, bleak weather times would be much more susceptible than to mood disturbance. You know, I think that if the media portrays being indoors and it's snowing outside and the sleigh's going by and Santa Claus coming on the roof and all that, well, that's a wonderful picture, but in reality, you look outside and in the east, it's slushy and icy and your car is snowed in and, you know, you can't get to work and, you know, all of those things add stress.
Right. You know, my cousin in Chicago tells me about how, you know, when you have children and you have to get all the clothes on and all the clothes off and the mud and the wetness and...
Yeah, you need a separate kind of entrance because that room is going to get filthy. Plus then, you know, if there's no school, the kids are home, and if parents work, they have to arrange for daycare for the kids, or they have to take off, and then they have to entertain the kids 24/7. And it's, you know, while they're getting ready for the holidays, it can be an extremely stressful time.
And you mentioned the media before, and the media affects us all so much in this culture. How does the media play into increasing holiday stress?
Well, of course, everybody knows that the Christmas holiday is advertised now even before Thanksgiving. I mean, you see the stores putting up their holiday decorations, and TV ads are about Christmas, about buying things for the holidays. And what you see when you look either in magazines or on the TV is this glorified picture of how the holidays should be. Again, you know, you see just a moderate amount of snow in the front and the warm fire inside, and everybody is loving each other. And there's a portrayal of how things should be. And for many people, the reality is different than that. Not necessarily worse than that, but it's different than that. And it's pretty hard to fight in your own mind a picture of this is the way it should be, but this is the way reality is, and what's wrong? Is there something wrong with me? Is there something wrong with my life that I don't have and I can't create what the media says I should be experiencing at this time?
You know, I think what the media presents would really be pretty impossible for most families. You know, that kind of picture that you're presenting, there are moments like that. There are hours like that.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, with the the huge time demands and physical demands of the season, to just be easygoing and sitting around drinking cocoa by the fire.
Right, right.
I mean, we don't have that in a regular week in my home.
No.
You know, with kids with their lessons and schedules and cooking and cleaning up and laundry and... In a regular week, we don't have that.
No, it's very unrealistic. I mean, I'm sure most of the listeners heard about someplace back east where I think Walmart had a Thanksgiving, after Thanksgiving sale, and people got trampled because they were first in line or wanted to get in to buy the items that were on sale. And if you notice in parking lots, people are not as courteous. Circle around in parking lots that are full, and they rush to get a parking spot. And there are so many demands on people. And again, I think that the demands often come from the media's presentation of the way things should be and people's sort of acceptance that, yeah, I've got to make my life and I've got to make my holiday, the way the media is. And when they compare themselves to other families, of course, you don't see what happens behind closed doors. But what people seem to think is that, well, every other family seems to be able to pull this off and to have this glorious time. And, you know, again, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with my family that I can't meet what the media seems to imply that I should be able to do over the holidays?
And, you know, when you talk about that, it brings to mind when we're talking about media, how the media creates needs. You know, you're watching TV, the commercial comes on, and those people at that store had gotten it into their minds, I guess to some degree, that they had to have certain products to be happy or for their children to be happy or their loved ones. And we really have to get a handle on this, don't you think?
Oh, I think absolutely. You know, this is a time that you buy gifts for families, although it often is a pleasant experience and you love to be able to give and you love the experience of people being happy when they open their gifts. The stress of having to choose things, the right things for everybody in your family is an incredible stress. And I think you're right that, I mean, I look at the ads and I think, well, what could I need out of this advertisement? You know, if I just stopped and looked at my life, I may not need anything, but I look at the ads and I think, gee, I've got to need one of these things.
The ads create a need.
Create a need,
right. That you didn't have otherwise.
Right. Yeah. They seem to say, you know, the implication, I think, is if you bought this or if you behaved this way, you'd be a lot happier. And I think that adds to people's sadness because then they go out and they try and fill their lives with stuff, you know, material stuff, that the media says, you know, buy this and you'll be happy. And in fact, it doesn't. I mean, we all sort of know this theoretically, that more stuff doesn't make you happy, but somehow around the holidays, the implication is if you get more stuff, you're going to be happier.
And if people want to think about this more, they can listen to the show that I did on spiritual fitness, which is all about finding the happiness within yourself and not needing other things outside yourself for happiness so much. Of course,
absolutely.
We all get some happiness from things outside, but not so much. I know one of the things we do in our family is we pre-record the TV shows so that when we're watching the show, we can speak through the commercials.
Yeah,
because I'm very offended by most of the commercials on TV these days. I really am. I don't want my kids seeing them.
Yeah, good idea. And the spirituality, I'm going to talk a little bit about that later, but while we're on that now, I think that this is also a time that if you are parents, a time that you can use to teach your children life lessons. For example, whether you are celebrating Hanukkah or Christmas or Kwanzaa or whatever you celebrate, teach the children that at least one of their gifts they need to donate to charity or to the poor people. And they can either choose which gift, or you can give them money instead of a gift and have them go and choose a gift and then go down to the shelters and give it to one of the poor people. And, you know, even though little kids may protest, gee, I want this, I want to keep this, I don't want to give it to somebody else, it teaches the child a life lesson. And again, the spirit of giving internally in the long run will be much more fulfilling than just buying more stuff.
And there's also encouraging, I know I've been encouraging my children this year to give gifts that they made.
Yeah.
It can be as simple as a poem or a coupon for a service. I'm always open to those coupons where
there
they'll
do
the dinner dishes so I don't have
to.
It's a great present for a child to give a parent.
Exactly. It doesn't have to cost any money, and certainly it doesn't have to cost a lot of money. You know, I see these car ads on TV where, I won't mention the brand, but where people are sort of thinking, gee, what can I get my partner? And they come across an idea of buying them a car. Well, how many people at this time of the year can just afford to just go out and buy somebody a new car?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that going to make their lives richer? In the long run, I doubt it.
And how about the people that are watching that and thinking, if he or she really loves me, they'll buy me a car.
That's right.
And then instead they get a box of chocolates and
that's
pretty
right.
upset.
Yeah, all I got was a box of chocolates. Well, you know me, Linda, if it's a box of chocolates, that's the best present for me.
Yeah, I know.
Good chocolates, though. It has to be good chocolates.
Well, I guess, you know, things are relative, aren't they? I mean, we have to keep in mind how little some people have in other countries and how fortunate we are to even be getting gifts at all, you know, and have extra money left over for gifts and special foods and gifts from at the holidays.
Yeah, I agree. I think this, again, is a time that you need to be thankful for what you have. Richness, you know, as I think about this and I remember some quotes, that richness is not having what you want but wanting what you have. So if you cherish the things that you have and are thankful for the things you have, then that's what your sense of I'm a rich person comes from, not from I want this and I want that and I'm only rich if I can get everything that I seem to want.
I know that just on this subject of all the expectations and the weight of that, I just have to tell you quickly that I met, there was a person where I was buying something in a store last week, and we got to talking, and I said, I have a radio show, and I said what the topic was that I was going to be talking about today with you. And he said, you know, in our family, we do something really different. And I said, well, what? And he said, we're not that religious, and the stress of Christmas got to be so much for us that we celebrate Christmas 3 weeks into January.
Mm-hmm.
He says, we hit all the after-Christmas sales, all the, you know, all the hysteria, everything is
right,
done.
Right, the hype is over.
It's a very relaxing, wonderful family time together.
Uh-huh. Well, that's right. That's exactly one of the things I was going to talk about later, so we'll save that for later, but I think it's a super idea.
Yeah, just to break the mold, huh?
Yeah.
Are there any other, you know, are there any other factors that contribute to unmet expectations, do you think? Cover everything, or are there other...
Yeah, I mean, you can't blame everything on the media. I think people do have a history, a family history of either, let's take it both ways, oftentimes people have a family history of very good times around the holidays, and they look at the current year and the current holiday, and it's not the same. The food isn't the same. The people aren't the same. Maybe they've lost a significant person in their lives over the last year or so. So their current life is not the same as the way it was when they were growing up. And I think people's mistake in this, or how people get themselves really sort of depressed and crazy at this time, is that internally they think, if it's not the same this year as it was as I was growing up, that means there's something wrong. That means I'm less than, or my family is less than the way it used to be. I mean, people have internal expectations, not necessarily created by the media, but internal expectations based on their own family life growing up. And then the flip side of that is that some people have not had those good times, those good warm experiences growing up. Maybe they didn't have a solid family life growing up. Maybe they couldn't afford to have some of the things that their friends and neighbors did. And here's another holiday, and they're reminded of what they didn't have growing up and what they maybe think that they should have had, but they didn't. And so it's a realization that their lives have not been as full as they think it should be. We're back to the word should again in this. So I think
take inventory, and it doesn't look,
it's not
adding up the way they'd like it to.
Right. Either because they've had good experiences in the past and this year is different, or maybe this year reminds them of the fact that they did feel deficient or left out or not as good as they were growing up. And I think, again, because people are more spread out now, some people literally are alone over the holidays.
Yeah.
It could be that they either can't afford financially, or they can't take time off from work for one reason or another, that there's no way that even if they try.
A family member may be away in the military.
Away in Iraq.
Parents might be divorced. Yeah.
Exactly. And so, in fact, they can't, even if they tried, they can't make this holiday match what in their minds they think it should be. You know, there are old-time songs about this, I'll be home for Christmas, and I'll be with you at Christmas, if only in my dreams. And so I think that people have recognized this, but it somehow sometimes doesn't soothe the pain of knowing that your loved ones are not around.
And then when your loved ones are around, sometimes it doesn't go so well, does it?
That's a whole other story. I saw a cartoon last week that I thought was very funny, where one person was saying to the other person that my family really believed in happiness around the holidays. And the second person said, so how are you going to accomplish this? And the first person said, we're going to stay as far away from each other as possible. And I know that sounds kind of strange, but, I mean, being around your family sometimes it brings up old hurts. It's not as you expected. It's not as the media seems to present it. And there are a couple of different reasons for that. Sometimes I think families expect to be able to resolve their differences and, you know, make this holiday better than before. I, for example, am working with a family, a divorced family, where the children live in another state, and they come to visit for Thanksgiving, then they come to visit for the Christmas holidays. And the parents, the father and the stepfather, and the stepmother, are very concerned about the way the biological mother is raising the kids. And so they came in for a session saying, we're going to have these kids for 4 days, and we want to be able to teach them some things that we haven't been able to teach them for the whole year because their mother has them. And, you know, how can we work with these kids so that, you know, over Thanksgiving maybe, so that the rest of Thanksgiving and Christmas is more pleasant? And my thought was, do you really want to try and resolve the issues that you haven't been able to resolve for a year, maybe even for a lifetime? Do you really want to attempt to resolve those in a short period of time? Why not just sort of kick back and try and enjoy each other's company instead of thinking, well, we need to bring this issue up right at the beginning so that we can have a more pleasant time? I don't think that works. I don't think people bringing
up
issues.
That's my instinct, too. I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah. I mean, if, you know, if you're with somebody for 6 months, okay. And certainly if the children visit, you know, if there are children involved and they're disrespectful, of course you're not just going to laugh that off. But to try and resolve differences that you have with your family members that you haven't been able to resolve for a lifetime and expect that you're going to be able to resolve those, not going to happen.
And if you are going to resolve them, if you have a better chance if you've developed the fabric of your relationship and made that stronger with happy memories and warm feelings with each other first, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's a great point, because bringing up some issues, if you don't have some positive memories and some foundation to back it up, is only going to create more distance. It's not going to create more closeness. So I think that people expecting that they're going to resolve differences, not going to happen. But, you know, sometimes just being around your family brings out the worst in you. One of my major mentors in family therapy, I mean, this was a guy who's known internationally, he says that when he goes back to visit his parents, and we're talking about an adult, I think when he told me this, he was probably about 60. He said, when I go back to visit my parents, within 15 minutes, I'm acting like a kid again. That there's something about the dynamics of being around your family that pulls out how you were growing up. I'm sure we all...
Those old ways of relating are just...
The old ways of relating, right, right. And so sometimes it pulls out the worst in you. You know, expecting that it's going to be any different and then being totally disappointed, like, oh, there's my mom again doing this, we got to get out of here. You know, it again, I think, comes from this sort of expectation that this year it's going to be different. This year I'm going to be able to behave differently. And then, again, very quickly, you're back to the way it used to be.
I'm getting depressed here listening to all these. Give us some help here.
Well, I can try. You know, I can understand what you're going through, because I guess if I was listening, it would seem as if I was really saying to stay away from your families and to not celebrate, not even try to celebrate the holidays. And that's clearly not what I'm saying. And again, I think that a lot of families do enjoy the holidays and experience these little kinks, but, you know, they're not major kind of issues that they have to deal with.
I think everybody experiences pieces of what we've been talking about, but that's not the whole thing.
That's not the whole thing. Right. So I'm certainly not saying to keep away from the family or from extended family or not to try and have a good time over the holidays. Certainly not. I think one of the things to think about is that, as I mentioned in the last segment, that holidays are not necessarily a time to bring up old hurts and old issues. If you begin to experience some of those old hurts, you know, again, if your relatives, parents, kids, whomever, are sort of pulling out some things in you, swallow them. Don't necessarily bring them up. This is probably not a good time to bring them up. You know, saying to your adult parents at the holiday time, you know, you always treat me this way, and I'm sick and tired of it, and blah, 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 blah. It's probably not a good time to bring it up.
Don't take the bait.
Right, don't take the bait, right. And swallow it doesn't mean keep it inside forever. Hopefully each of us has a significant other who we can talk with about it. You know, you close the door and you say to your partner, boy, my mom's at it again. Boy, my dad, if I took that bait, I would have been in a three-hour argument with him. So you have a way to sort of get it out. But don't take the bait. This is not the time to deal with it. There may be better times. There may not be. I mean, you may choose never to deal with it with the actual people. But the holiday time may not be the best time to try and deal with these old hurts and old patterns. So that would be one thing that I would say is don't take the bait. Another major thing is to check your own expectations, to look at what you're expecting for the holidays, why you're expecting it, and not to think that this year is less than or worse than any other times. It may be different, but it does not necessarily have to be worse. So, for example, if this year you can't buy the same expensive presents that you're used to, it doesn't mean that there's something wrong. And this would be a great time to teach your children certain life lessons about values. For example, the example that you gave before, Linda, about maybe making gifts for each other rather than buying expensive gifts, or maybe buying several inexpensive gifts rather than expensive gifts, or maybe volunteering at a shelter so that you teach them the gift of giving. All of those would be good. So check your expectations, and mostly I think start your own traditions. The fact that you don't have the same traditions this year as you used to have, or that the media seems to imply that you should have, doesn't mean you can't start your own traditions. It may be, again, that this year we're going to start going down to the shelter on Thanksgiving Day and serving the homeless. Or this year we're all going to make a gift for somebody. Or this year we're going to buy a family present, maybe a game, and we're all going to play the game. Those sorts of things, starting your own traditions rather than thinking that you have to maintain the traditions or the expectations that the media or your memories have created for you. I think that really is critical. Maybe limiting time together. You know, having family members around for a week or 2 weeks at a time can be extremely stressful. If there's any way that you might be able to limit that, maybe only 3 or 4 day visits. Maybe you visiting several people for 3 or 4 days, or maybe, you know, if your parents are coming out, sharing them with your brother or sister, rather than you having to deal with your extended family for extended periods of time. Also taking care of yourself. So, for example, if your kids are visiting, you know, in a divorce situation, your kids may be visiting from another state, it's not all that terrible an idea that one evening or so while your kids are here, that you get a babysitter for the kids and you go out with your new partner just to get a break from the kids. I think it's very, people put extreme demands on themselves to be up and pleasant and responsive for the whole time. And I think it's these sort of demands that just drive people crazy.
We just ask too much of ourselves sometimes.
Yeah. And it's exacerbated when I think you haven't seen people in a while. So, for example, in a divorce situation, it's an extremely stressful time both for the adults and for the kids when your family has experienced divorce and now you're making plans for holiday time, because I think for several reasons. One is, again, you cannot create the same atmosphere in this new family as you may have had in the other family, and you shouldn't try. You, again, should create new traditions for your new family, not try to recreate the traditions that you may have had in the nuclear family before the divorce. That's a major issue. And sometimes you'll hear that from kids. Well, how come in mom's house we have this, and when we come to visit you, Dad, we have that? And so the pressure to sort of keep up with your ex-spouse and maybe even in a competitive way make the holiday time better for the kids than your ex-spouse is making it for the kids, that sort of creates too much stress and may actually ruin the time. It's much better if you can say, hey, we have a new family now, or even if I'm not in a new relationship, You know, it's me and you kids, and we need to start creating our own traditions because we're going to keep visiting like this for the next several years. And let's create our own traditions. Let's not try and recreate old traditions.
Maybe we can talk more about some of the special challenges that divorced families or families in which there's been a remarriage face at the holidays. And probably what would affect these families would also spill over into the typical, you know, nuclear families as well. But what are some of those special challenges, and what can we do about them?
Yeah. Well, I think, as I was saying, partly adults sometimes feel still competitive with their ex-spouse, and they feel like the kids are going to love the ex-spouse more than they love them, and they really try and either outdo the ex-spouse or at least match what he or she creates for the kids. And that goes all year round, not just for the holidays. At the holiday time, it may be even exacerbated because you may be concerned about, does the ex buy better toys for the kid? Does he or she create a more festive environment? And I only have the kids for a little while, and so I've got to make it really super, super festive and super enjoyable for the kids. And you put a lot of stress on yourself because then you're basing your decisions not on your love for the kids, but on your competitive feelings for the ex-spouse. So don't do that. I know it's easier said than done, but...
Yeah, I think that would be real tough, especially when...
It's tough. It is, because, you know, it's very hard for a parent. If you're giving the kids some experience around the holiday time or any time during the year, and the kids say to you, well, Daddy doesn't do it that way, then it really hits you really in a place where it hurts. Now, nuclear families have that, too, where kids try and split the adults in the family. Then they may say, well, Daddy wouldn't punish me this way, or Mommy would let me go to that dance. And I think you have to have enough faith in yourself to be able to say Mommy or Daddy or the other parent really can, you know, is allowed to bring you up the way he or she brings you up. And then when you're in my care, I value X, Y, Z, and we need to do this. So it's important that you at least say that, even if deep down you're still feeling hurt. It's in the kids' best interest to attend
to
them.
Well, it's also thinking about the long run.
It's better for them in the long run. That's right. It is better for them. We can talk at another time about some interesting research on this, but I don't think we'll have the time now. One of the main things, you know, it's stressful for the kids as well, because even for adult kids, I mean, I have adults with whom I work who are visiting family for the holidays, and there's a competitiveness with, well, who am I supposed to have Christmas dinner with, and who am I going to spend the first night of Hanukkah with, and if I spent Thanksgiving with my mom last year, does that mean I have to spend Thanksgiving with my dad this year? For little kids, though, don't put the kids in the middle. It should not be up to them as to who they want to spend time with. This is an adult issue.
That's probably one of the things that's most important to keep in mind, isn't it?
Not to put the kids in the middle. That's right. I mean,
yeah,
the kids go through enough stress. So either asking the kids, whose house do you want to go to, or asking the kid, what did you do at your mom's house? What did you do at your dad's house? You know, having them report on what it was like. Getting reassurance from the kids. You really did like spending some time with me, didn't you? All of that is not good for the kids. It puts them in the middle. It creates loyalty conflicts for them. So again, you as adults may feel it, and it's much more important to be able to talk to other adults about those feelings rather than put the kids in the middle. That's probably the worst thing that you can do, because the kids then are going to feel disloyal no matter how they answer those questions. So try not to do that. Don't try and outdo the other family. And again, one of the main things you can do in a step family is, or in a divorced family, is to create your own traditions. Or even in a family where the mom or dad is in the military and overseas and you can't have the same kind of holiday as before, create your own tradition. Do something new that the kids can look forward to in the years to come in this new family arrangement.
So I guess that goes back to where we were when we were talking about how everything is relative.
Yeah.
And I think that when you create a new tradition, you're taking the focus away from the past and you're moving it towards the future.
Exactly. And it teaches the children, I think, a very good life lesson, which is that you make the best of what you have. That, again, happiness is not getting everything you want, but really learning to appreciate what you have. it may sound hokey that families say, well, I'm so thankful that I have you kids around, and we don't really need gifts, and we don't really need presents. And it may sound hokey, and it's not just saying it, it's living that out. It's creating new experiences for the kids, new ways of interacting with each other, putting aside your differences and focusing on positives. I can't really stress enough that not trying to either outdo your ex-spouse or not trying to recreate something that you had when you were a child, but what's important is to create your own family traditions now.
If you just do traditions, then it kind of doesn't take into consideration that times have changed and your family is different and it's composed of different individuals than your family of origin. And you want to your traditions and your family life at the holidays to reflect who these people are.
I think that's a really good point. You know, we're not saying, like in a step family, we're not going to do things like the Smith family did. We're not going to do things like the Jones family did. We are now the Smith-Jones family. And we create our new traditions now. I know I've worked with a lot of families who celebrate different holidays. They may be a Jewish-Christian marriage. And so then the conflict about, well, do we celebrate Hanukkah or do we celebrate Christmas? Do we get a Christmas tree or do we get a menorah kind of things? And I think that the family has to decide it's not either or, and it's not that one is better than the other. It's how do we, now that we're the Smith-Jones family or the, you know, the McCarthy Cohen family, how do we now create traditions for our new family? That's really what's important.
And it can be an incredibly wonderful experience to do that. We've come to the end of this hour. I think we could go another hour very easily, as you predicted. But I just want to thank you so much, Dr. Rivner, for being on the show with me today.
It's my pleasure, really.
I think you've given us a lot of wonderful information. You truly are an expert in this area, and I'm going to invite you back for more topics.
Great. Love it.
Okay.
You have a good holiday. You and your family have a good holiday season.
Thank you. You and yours also.
Thank you.
After this show, I can't imagine anyone not relating to some piece of this. There are relationship issues that come up, finances. There's a high physical demand of extra errands and preparing large meals, and you change how you exercise and how you're eating. All this stress needs to be acknowledged and dealt with, or it can make you tired or even ill. So forget about perfection and be realistic. Seek support and plan ahead so that you can stick to a budget and maintain your exercise and other health habits so that you can take care of yourself. Think about creative solutions to problems when they come up. Maybe even learn to say no. Set differences aside so that your time with family is as warm and nourishing as possible. Thank you for listening. I hope you'll join me again for more of The Heart of It.